interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 463. Thank you for tuning in today, live or later on. Get on the podcast and, more appropriately, get to the blogcaster. You can get all the links of what I'm speaking to, and I speak in just almost terms and titles. So I go through and read the documents I'm sending you to show, try and qualify whether or not most of the information is accurate enough to get the idea. And one of my whole points here is to give people maybe a better insight into what they're reading. Again, I say the notice is in the news. It's not news more than it can be noticed. And we should read it for that. And that notice, the public awareness, the public knowledge, the public being the general common here, not the government itself, is legally relied upon by those in power. In other words, you were told. And so it requires, the way this thing seems to be wired and the way I've had to treat it for a couple decades now, is take that for what it is, and we either respond to it or we don't. When we don't, that's silence. Silence is acceptance. That's not my rules. That's just the way they work. And so you've got to go through a whole lot in order to combat the record they make contrary to what they're expecting. The people who have the obligation to arrest maladministration and to stop the problem by the governed upon them. One of the traps of this whole thing we call the United States of America, as far as I can tell. However, once you start seeing that, then you start responding, and then you start to actually show up the condition, and it starts to, in other words, you start finding out the emperor does wear no clothes, but you know literally every disgusting freckle and wrinkle that caused it and that are exposed. So that's also up to us. So I'm going to go one more week here, and thank you the last week to those who did more donations. We started 1 week late in February. I'm going to extend this one more week, the donation month. It's supposed to end on February. I understand now we've gone through another month this year. If you would please, anybody who has an ability to, get over to the RLM website, and if you could donate to keep the broadcast going, the network going, and this broadcast going. I focus completely at this network, although I've had requests to go to other places. The workload on me is too much to keep up. I've been asked multiple places to do 5 days a week. I just could not do it. So I've just sat back and said, well, let me just do one thing I can commit to every day, every week, for as long as I have. And I've only missed a couple weeks. So thank you to RLM, and thank you to those who picked up beyond the baton passing and Vince easily to pick up and continue, and all the people that'll help that donated and continue this. I'm asking anybody else who can, to probably be the last week I'll ask, that we continue the ability to have a free voice, notwithstanding the potential of domains being knocked out. I don't think we are high level enough listenership to have that really be a problem, which is a blessing and a curse. I guess, in my view, I'm giving people the tools with which they can defend themselves, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot that want to follow through. And I don't know why that is. It's pretty amazing. It makes me quite a question what I'm doing, but I know that a few of you are doing things, and the questions you have show me that there's a deeper knowledge that needs to be had. I tend to have answers till right now for people. I haven't run out of position, a condition, an experience that I haven't been able to answer to anybody who is on a path. And yes, you have to be on a path. I learned a long time ago not to deal with people that are wasting my time or even their time. And I told you all about that as well. People come to me with their preconceived notions of what's going on, and I can show them pretty quickly how they need to drop that preconception and need to get back into what they need to be doing on the narrow path that'll help them. And so that's what I tend to bring. I tend to bring it in a fleeting way in the broadcast, but it's all the only thing I can do. And I apologize if I haven't had anybody comment how to do it different. So I continue down this path that I think about constantly about how can I bring the message better. I say better because it doesn't seem that many people are engaging. I'm not, again, the Tony Robbins, I'm not. The inspiration to get to action, I am not, even though I'm giving you the information that would start you down that path so that you can see that you are in the driver's seat. You do have a power. And we are in an overwhelming occupation. I don't mean we're working. I don't mean our livelihoods. I mean an international occupation and overthrow of our existing, our thought of existing way of life. And that the way that is maintained is pretty phenomenal and pretty broad spectrum. And I don't even know if people, it's like a learned trick that people do, that they learn to do to other people. Keep everybody complacent. Keep everybody thinking that, oh, that guy over there said something, so it must be right, or whatever. I don't even know how to go through it. It's so much to say. In fact, I think I had 100 tabs. Friday night, I started to pull together so much to do for this broadcast. By Friday night, I'm looking and saying, I better start pulling stuff together. By Saturday night, I had, I think, thrown out almost everything I had built for Friday night to say, because things had changed, impressions had been made in me that changed what I thought was important for today. And I wholesaled out a whole bunch of stuff we'll never get to. In fact, you won't hear, well, maybe get to a little bit at the end of the broadcast if I get there, and I'll get there really, really soon because I got to get moving. There's science stuff that's out there that's cool on the one hand and terrifying on the other that we need to know about technology, how they're bringing everything on while under cover of all this nonsense. It's still going on. Walking into that digital prison, and I don't know that people even talk about this stuff, so I say, maybe I should talk about it. Well, I'm not going to get to a lot of that stuff. There's like 4 or 5 major sectors of the subject matter. I can only get to maybe 2. It's really gone phenomenal. And then I'm looking like in the morning. I get up and I say, what's gone on that I have to alter even what I've said from the night before? And so I just, as I said, I could tell, I was 2 years ago, I could tell it was creeping on. I'm going to get, once a week is just maybe not enough. And as it comes quicker and quicker, the news, and it's going to be harder and harder to be relevant in some regard ahead of time. And so I think I still am. And in the most part, that's why I keep sticking to the fact, okay, you know that. You have all this knowledge. Now, what are you going to do with it? Knowledge is not power. It's what are you going to do with that knowledge? And then how effective are you in applying it? And there's lots of traps out there. We all think we know more than we actually do. When we get involved, we find that out. I'm still learning on things. I still have what I call the obstructions. What do you do when they stop answering, when they really are crickets and they're in the wrong and you got them? When they stop answering, those people in official capacity that took on a duty. What you know that you start finding out, the official wears no clothes, for as disgusting as that sounds. Literally, the emperor wears no clothes. Now what? Now what do you do? You're still under attack. And I say, look at Russia for this, because I told you this before. I'll get to this in a second. Watch how a sovereign responds to threats. And in a third-party sense. And you better hear, because that's a reflection of a mirror upon us in the United States, and everybody, actually. That we better, if we intend to be free, we better intend to walk through this thing and get out the other side without being oppressed even further. We better learn the lessons of someone who has to do it in real time. And Russia's giving us that example. So whatever my sense of Putin might be, or Russia or whatever, which I believe are just people, and they're doing what they need to do. And yes, there's the oligarchs, all that. We can talk endlessly about all that stuff. But what are we going to do with this knowledge, and what knowledge becomes important to do with? And then for each one of us is going to be on our tail, trying to chomp on us. That's already actually chomped on us, and COVID told us all that. But noticing interesting little, psychological warfare type, it's just tricks we learn to do to other people. We learn to do it to ourselves. It just kind of captured my mind, especially, as I say, mind. I keep forgetting to remind you all, Sound Minds puts out every week, that he can. This guy's been having some technical difficulties with his internet here and there for some reason. He rebroadcasts this broadcast, sometimes real time, to show you just the documents I'm speaking to. And I think he puts a list down as well. And I would be remiss to keep saying this, like Grammy Mary, who donates to the Spreaker. And thank you every week for all that. I always think about it. Don't ever say it, but Sound Minds is there on the TrueTube Live. And when he was going to get knocked off of YouTube, he moved over to TrueTube Live so he could present this broadcast a lot of times live. So I want to shout out to Sound Minds. And thank you very much, and all the people that go there. And I noticed the listenership, if it's not on YouTube, I don't know why the herd stays on YouTube, but they do. And so the listenership continues to fall where you have to move around while censorship is being put in. But let me get over to the YouTube for Sound Minds. And he's got a little ad, if you will, running about 1 minute and 41 seconds. You might want to take a look at, and Behind Woodshed Weekly Broadcast. And he says the links are below, and you go to the links from YouTube over to the new one. So thank you, Soundminds, for what you do each week to get the word out. And we just hope people are going to listen, or actually act beyond listening. But again, there is some support behind Woodshed to get. I know some of you who listen, you know some of the value here when you start applying it, and you look out, you got that new eyes to see type stuff. And it may not even do, sometimes it may not even be more than being able to see that, and you get to parse through the noise, and I think you see all that. So you get to anticipate, like I told you, you get to see things, and you get to then qualify long before they're an issue, whether or not they're going to be an issue, or to keep track of them, because they might be. And so that's what I bring behind Woodshed. You're only going to see it and hear it when you see it and hear it. And you can know lots of stuff. In fact, I just responded to somebody on the Twitter, which is really, they took away all my notifications as well. So Twitter's just really Twitter-tanic. But I did see if my feed was okay on the feed side. Somebody who talks is saying this is a truth that their incrementalness, if you will, of a government have taken over and responding to the free academia is required in these free societies. And I said, this is someone who's learned, who tells people, informs people, but he himself does not understand that free academia is what's been used to bring on this incrementalism. They figured that out. And so this is a whole new technology to understand relative to how peoples around the world get taken down. And so I'm keen, as best as I can, to listen for whether or not the speaker themselves understands this. I'm listening for the learned retraining and mind control that goes on. And there was something that came through. Quite a few people were all of a sudden speaking about Tucker Carlson. I took notice of that because all of it, it's like it was one video. Tucker said, the title is, "This is what Biden left unsaid last night." It had to do with that State of the Union address, which I did not hear. I got more after when people were pointing out all the faux pas, if you will. Evidence of jab harm, but on top of it all. But I found people were finding favor in this particular video, and I don't normally listen to the mainstream anything, actually. But I decided to look at it because I'm always trying to figure out what people are interested in, and is there some way to me integrate that kind of an idea to get more people to understand what I'm trying to present, which is not just the knowledge, but once you hear a danger coming, what to do. And sometimes just stepping in the right spot once, acting once in the right spot and watching the thing go by you is also good too, but you don't want to get surprised. But so I don't normally listen to the mainstream anything, and so I'm guided by what people are interested in, trying to figure out what are people interested in, what if anything can I speak to. And I'll just tell you, after looking at a lot of these things, I'm not sure what people hear. I hear a totally different condition going on. So this captured my mind, and as late as Friday night, to reorient what I was going to move through, and then what happens going on in the reflection, broken mirror reflection called the war in Ukraine. How all this is just coming back, and we're being harmed by the very same declarations that is being put on someone else. And I don't see anybody commenting on that. But anyway, there's relative to Tucker Carlson's statement, mixing the good with the good information with correct information with bad information, if you will. There's techniques going on, and I quickly found offense, if you will, to what's going on to people that most people embrace wholeheartedly. And the problem with it was it's also you're having to embrace a tactic of, if you will, mind control. And the universal embrace is the problem for me. Not that you can't, but normally not everybody knows so much that they can't. And like behind the Woodshed, I say, listen, I'm going to show you and tell you where you can go find for yourself what you need to know. And then you do it, and you do an independent critique of that, and you tell me whether or not I've looked at it correctly for you, and or you see it correctly for you that same way, or if there's a different interpretation. We need to keep that check and balance for ourselves. But so he gets to a point relative to adult. Tucker Carlson goes on to relative to adult moral calculations. Now, you understand we got to move into moral, the idea of what moral is. And that kind of triggers a whole different analysis almost, because what is that? But he goes into relative to adult moral calculations, like there's, we're all insects, but anyway, that's not the point here. That he makes this comment about 4 minutes in. He says that Putin is bad. No one in America will argue with that. That Putin is bad, he says, and no one in America will argue with that. On a moralistic analysis, but really problematic to me. And so this guy is talking, he's speaking. Notice, and I notice, look around, you'll see, notice how people are speaking for everyone. This is that generality problem, that you speak in generalities and nothing specific. It's a different form of evasion and control at the same time. And so I want us to start to notice that. I don't want to condemn anybody here. I don't even know if this guy knows this stuff. I suppose he does. But, and there's other things that conform, again, not just this one instance, but as I listen through, I'm noticing there is this overarching authority, silent authority he wants to claim. And all, lots of people do this in this celebrity status. And they tend to get people to agree with them. And it's not that I don't disagree with some of the things he said. That's not what I'm focused on. I'm focused on us being lulled in by some good-sounding things while they're actually programming us, if you will, as to collateral or third-party instances. In this case, the presentation that everybody would not argue. Everybody agrees that Putin is bad. Well, bad and moral, that's a whole different ballgame here. So, in fact, you know, anybody, Tucker Carlson in this case, nobody, has any authority to impose what upon everyone that no one in America would argue. Neither could he know whether Putin is that particularly bad, but he placates his detractors with this hesitation and purporting to speak for everyone condemning Putin without further regard. And I noticed this in some of the comments. I noticed this in the remember, you know, they split the population again between COVID or not, vax or not, whatever, and now we're against Ukraine or not, and all this other stuff, and yet we have no say, even particularly moralistically, we have no say. All third-party interests have no say, and this is particular when you start understanding about property as well. So don't underestimate what I'm telling you here. If I never get to them, it just occurred to me to say so. There's so much to cover on this stuff, and I don't mean just the news. I'm talking the notice, the principles, what's going on, how we're responding, maybe how we're not responding, how societies are drawn through things incorrectly and don't even realize it. I heard plenty of times, how did the people get embrace Nazi, the National Socialist thing that Hitler put on? Well, go look at the history, maybe you'll figure it out. They were put in a bad way. And someone stepped up to have all the salvation for them, and everyone says, okay. And they were convinced in certain techniques. And so this is what bothers me. Because I see a whole society across the world, all suffering the same condition, ongoing. I hear all the complaints, but I see really none of the action, and it's all seemingly tied to people that we put on a higher pedestal than they deserve. And then we embrace just completely and ultimately whatever they've said, and that's the answer. And because that's been stated, that solves the problem as well. There's another problem. But moving on here, this thing about condemning Putin. I've said last week what this was a problem, how this was. When you get into property, you'll understand what I'm saying. When you get into sovereignty, you'll understand what I'm saying. And if what you condemn in someone else, you condemn in yourself. You can't forget that. And so this is that's where we get to diplomacy and statesmanship and statescraft and all this. It's a whole different thing. You really have to have a different mind working when you go through this. So all that problem in the Ukraine relative to anybody outside of it, that isn't our place. The problem is, in all this, it isn't our place. Regardless of whether Carlson could or not moralistically decide that everyone could argue. With regard to that third-party intermeddling here, or the United States and all this other stuff in NATO, even less so, if at all. Once you're intermeddling, though, you're out of the ability to have a say. And so to state moralistically that there would be no argument by every American that Putin's bad is at minimum bad form. It's certainly not the point, and it's not the question of what needs to be looked at. And it's not our place. And I want everyone to think about that. You have your own properties. You have your own rights relative to your properties. If you want to stand on the your king of your castle, so to speak, your king of your property, and we can go through all that. I've done it. I've talked about it for years, patents and all that, and the protection against all comers, even the United States government and the Fed and the state government. If you understood all that, and you place that into absolute terms, and then you're being attacked by a third party through someone else, your neighbor. I want you to really think about that, because this is really where you have to start putting your mind at what's going on before we start pointing the finger at other people and who's bad and who's good. So we see the fallout coming through, even the West now, because this is, the takedown, the attempted takedown of certain principles. My mind just goes, there's so much to talk about here. I can't interrupt myself and keep on my point here. So we're moving into what's gone on in what's being moved about in the institutions of the world, where the West is insisting at the UN that the Russia act peaceful, that you'll see that they're stating that Russia hasn't acted peaceful, but didn't. The United States itself didn't act to make peace when Russia tried all these years. Russia's been trying to make peaceful resolution where their interests are for, and despite the condemnation that the United States has been making with their recent push to remove Russia from the UN Security Council. But which, if you hear all this nonsense is back and forth, you got to listen, keep track of this ping pong ball. You'll hear a problem for the United States and NATO and everybody. It's right in what they say always. There's always a hesitation, but you'll hear they want to remove, they move to have Russia removed from a permanent seat in the Security Council. But then Press Secretary Psaki says in an article that the U.S. is eager to support Kiev. What happened to the YIV there, if you see it over on Sound Minds, you see the title, Kiev during its conflict with Moscow, but through other means. The U.S. is eager to support Kiev during its conflict with Moscow, but through other means. All right, so on one hand, their ambassadors are claiming, and other people are claiming, and Ukraine's are claiming, get removed the seat of Russia. You got to think about this. They're a nuclear power. We'll get to that. And then the United States government comes out, the White House press secretary says, we want to help Kiev, but we can't go to the point where we advocate the removal of Russia from the UN Security Council. So that means, if you look at these hesitations, that means that it's none of this is determined by the United States. And at every turn here, the United States is impotent, not important. Russia claims the R. The U.S. is impotent. Okay, so listen very carefully on how the hesitation, where the power really relies, where there's two people having a fight. But then we look back, if they don't have this, and then we just hand them something, even so if like Carlson and the United States has a say, and I say, yes, I put the United States and Carlson together, because they're speaking from this morality. You have to ask the question, by whose morality would that be? When your neighbors are the Hatfields and McCoys, and they're having their feud, what right do you have to intervene? Everybody needs to, I know there won't, a lot of people won't, they won't even listen to the broadcast, but you need to start settling down and thinking about what's going on. This ends up being in your house, right where you sit, right where your mind, and right where your brain is, how this actually works and how to parse through this. Why? So that you start looking around you, where you live, outside of that noisy news that's out there, and to be able to start making better decisions, because the war is around you, whether you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, listen, please, carefully to what I'm saying. The war is up around our ears and has been. So, we don't have a right to intervene in the Hatfield and McCoy. Oh, we could think we have a right. We can think we want to lay peace, but between the two, there is no morality relative to a discussion and decision that one can make on them. It's just how we would respond. And as I said, the United States failed to respond upon the, if you will, pleas of the Russia to give us these securities that you promised anyway to, and the United States would not. In fact, over a few years, in a couple of administrations, the United States has done everything to sabotage all of it. And we find it has an interest there without an interest, without a right to have an interest. So here, the third-party intervention through a Hatfield and Coit feud, the U.S. is powerless and abusive where it failed to bring peace when it had the chance. So watch very closely to see that the avoidance techniques and not admitting it can do nothing substantial to stop any of this. And you notice every news piece of news is when it comes down to what Europe can do or NATO or United States, it's zero. It's absolutely zero. Oh, we can't go there. Oh, we can't go there. Why? Because they, for as all the violation of international law that Russia was supposed to have done, they would be making a larger breach in doing anything. There's nothing stopping this from happening, but I'm just telling you that there's a certain justification in the world that has to happen. The record that needs to be made. I keep telling you about it. Look at that reflection as well. Don't miss this, what I'm telling you about what Russia's done. And I talked to you about this before, how they went about it. They established their point, and then they moved. Whether anybody likes it or not, because they know, they've thought it through, no one has a right between the parties other than the two in conflict. So even so, there's discussion. A purported analysis entitled, Should Russia Lose Its Seat at the UN Security Council? The answer would seem obvious. If the UN can be considered to have any value at all, the answer to that is no. Ultimately, Russia is a nuclear power. Now that's the Zionista International conundrum to the unfaithful, the UN faithful mission. The Zionista International conundrum here, where they allow a nuclear power to go uncontained. The Israel question aside as well. But you don't want Russia not to be part of a meaningful process. And we go back to administrative meaningful. Because ultimately, in law, in the justice, in the superiority, in the sovereignty, there is no administrative process that can stop you. And I talked about all these principles before. We've said it, and you look into rule of law, and democracy even recognizes if an administration, a rule, violates a principle, fundamental, vested property or right, you don't have to wait around in the administrative side. And that's why I talked to you about remedy. What would you be your remedy when someone comes against your title? It's not in law. There's no remedy to that. Now you're in an equity state. Where you see the Constitution of the United States has two jurisdictions. Well, there's a third one called military, but we're talking about civil liberty type things. Is common law, at law, and in equity. And so that's what we're dealing with. And then we have international law in this part, which is always, we see Kansas versus Colorado, always present and reviewed by the Supreme Court, notwithstanding all the nonsense we hear that seems to not. So, the answer to whether or not Russia should lose a seat should be, we shouldn't even consider no. I mean, that we shouldn't consider this other than no. But, as you would listen, and listen very carefully on how this is all working out, what the cheerleader of its own cause is in Ukraine. Ukraine will now argues, relative to this imposition, the United States allowed to be stated, didn't state anything in objection, except that Psaki says the White House doesn't want to quite go there. They still want to support Kiev, which is actually not a democracy, not and has Nazis, literal neo-Nazis protecting it, which we find it becomes a split in the sheet here real quick as we watch this come down. Pretty fascinating stuff. That the United States isn't actually going to go that far. But Ukraine continues to argue that Russia, and listen to this logic, because it goes on to, we start really seeing some answers if they would just go this way in a way. And or the weakness of the impotency of the arguments here. The Ukraine now argues that Russia, notwithstanding Russia's successor state status, is not the Soviet Union, allowed a permanent seat at the UN, and therefore Russia is unworthy of the seat. Now, if you're going to get, I told you, watch out your words. They're very important. You're watching it right here. Everything I've told you is in this, is in the interaction with this war. This is the highest level of witness we should be making on what's going on, what the ultimate powers are, actually. And you're watching all the principles play out if you have the eyes to see them. And I'm saying internalize those and bring them to yourself at home and start utilizing those against, you can almost use the very same provisions that you're watching, but tailored to your subject matter. So, if the Soviet Union was allowed a permanent seat, but not Russia, Ukraine is saying that the permanent seat isn't allowed to Russia. But if this logic is correct, and think this through a little bit, and you'll find, it'll send you the articles, you just, again, get on the broadcast, so you read this through. That logic's correct, that the Soviet Union is not Russia, and therefore Russia is not deserving of the permanent seat. Then NATO, N-A-T-O, itself, should be disbanded when you read the Alma-Ata Protocol was signed by the majority of Soviet republics declaring the end of the Soviet Union in 1991, given another article explaining that NATO's original purpose was for the double containment of the Soviet Union, not Russia here, the Soviet Union and the resurgent Germany, and that the Soviet Union does not exist to continue NATO's containment objectives. By the logic extended by the Ukraine, if we give it any credit, then NATO has no purpose, and it should be should have been disbanded when? In 1991. Now, you just listen to a guy behind the woodshed, but let's go through and let's start critically thinking about if we're really going to be statesmen, diplomats, and we're going to try and solve problems, let's go look and see whether or not we need to clean our house up first before we start talking about the messiness of someone else's and then the fight between two houses. And so this, again, getting back to the theme today is really the propaganda. We're told the silent propaganda of people that we embrace that even may be telling us good things, but they themselves are imposing ideas. We hear by others we're told things to do. And yeah, you hear that behind the woodshed. It's to get back there and bring the miscreants behind the woodshed and teach them so. Yeah, I tell you to do things too, but I'm not talking about that. Because what I'm telling you to do is go find the black and white to verify that something's been officially wrong, and then we will stop that oppression against us. It's really the defensive position that Russia seems to be taking as well, if you let it give yourself the thought to go out that far. You really have to break down our prejudices in order to start thinking a little bit clearer than we have been. I'm still working through the problem yet, right? I'm not even talking what we need to do about it if we can. I'm saying ultimately we may not be able to do anything. But if we were going to be anybody, if we were going to stand underneath the UN mission of peace, we should be bringing peace. Not fomenting or agreeing by silence every fomentation of non-peace. And we should be honest about if we're going to advance the Ukraine, oh, that's a good idea, Ukraine. Let's say, okay, Russia doesn't get a seat. We'll kick them out of the UN. Now they're a nuclear power without any overview. That's smart. Oh, but what now you've also said, if that's the truth, then NATO shouldn't exist because the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. Boy, that would solve one of the problems that Russia's been saying, wouldn't it? And then it would also free him up. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and put that in. Are you going to really want to do that? But no, this is the nonsense that comes from people that are just doing agendas and agreeing, and the silence on the side of the United States to allow it without any direct objection to maintain a narrow path. No, what they do is they give you a lot of the permeable surface area to punch holes in, to leak out and not contain the problem. So if Russia doesn't deserve a permanent seat because it doesn't exist in as far as the permanent seat granted to the Soviet Union, then NATO shouldn't exist and shouldn't have existed since 1991. Where's all that bad tax money been going? Has anybody made these challenges? Can you? Absolutely. This would be fraud on the Treasury. Are you going to win? Likely not. You're not in control. But you would make the question, just like Ukraine just did, as stupid as it sounds to say. It's like in politics right now. Right now, I think there's lots of voting going to be going on. The only purpose I can think about being in voting is really the candidacy, the part where you get to become a candidate and you get to tell people what your point is. And if you're good with that, then you can inform people that wouldn't otherwise be informed on your point. You may not win, but that's not what you're there for, right? Like, I don't have a big listenership. If I was looking for big listenerships, I certainly would stop talking. There's nothing here for me, actually. And I have a hard time thinking about continuing because of that sometimes, but there's enough people that are interested that I feel that I need to help where I can. And so I keep coming back. But we're told by lots of people what to do and how to go about doing it, and we don't really qualify much of this. That's why I say if you're doing it, you can qualify yourself. You know your intentions. You know the black and white. You know your study. You know your weaknesses. You know where you can fix all that. But by others, other than Carlson and these kinds, we're told what we need to do right now. And this advice is provided, if you listen around, it's everywhere. This advice is provided by all the people that didn't do anything to stop or by their dereliction likely caused what's happening now on all attack fronts. Remember the ongoing COVID-19 war and others destroying your lives. All that gets pushed from the news cycle. Don't think that war's not going on, and that's right in your back pocket. That's right there happening to you. All the same things, folks. I don't even know what to say. It's all here to see. But here we have. Everyone has to tell you what you need to do. But it's done by the people that have caused the very problems that you are suffering and continue to suffer in your silence. Or as is being developed around you in your silence, even though you know and don't act, these systems, these integrated systems, these incremental systems are in place and put in place and being fortified right now and then being put into practice. So we don't have a way to really escape that. I haven't seen the way to escape that. We're not the self-sufficient Russia at this point. We might be maybe somewhat self-reliant, but I doubt that most of us are. For as much as I might want to try, or others I've heard be prepared, you can only prep only so much after a while. This is a long, engaged battle. The 100 years war, you're not going to have enough, ever. And then there's going to be others needy, and if you're that kind of a, if you're that compassionate, you're going to be in trouble, because there's woe on the world. So, those that are giving us all this advice on what we need to do, are the ones that likely caused the problem and didn't own up to their own authorities and duties and obligations. In a similar consideration on all this and in highlighting what I said, that the sanctions over Ukraine upon Russia will be like the United States spitting into a stiff wind and not affect Russia as planned, and more evidence of the United States administration's presidential attack against the homeland, which homeland security is apparently fine to watch. Watching it happen right there should have told you something. The Biden claims stopping a pipeline will cripple the economy of Russia and punish it badly. As evidenced in the article, on swift sanctions, Biden and his allies walk a tightrope between punishing Putin and hurting themselves. So here's the point about that. You're not, even in the most innocent look, you're not going to get about the fact that there's always a seriously direct potential of hurting ourselves. What I've offered is that all you're going to do is hurt ourselves. Yes, Russia is going to be hurt, but that's a different type of hurt for them. They don't care. It went to principle for them, not policy. And so we hear right up front here that Biden and his allies walk a tightrope between punishing Putin and hurting themselves. You can get these articles on the broadcaster after, or as I would hope that you'll see on Sound Minds. I'm just going through tabs now, just talking. Now, all the information's there. Like I said, over 100 tabs I think I had to be distilled down to these, trying to convey ideas. And what's the most important idea for us today, which is out there, it's out somewhere elsewhere. We're not hearing the rockets and the red glare and all that imposing war and all the death and destruction and stink and the smell and whatever, all that insanity. We're not experiencing all that, most of us. But that war is around us. And I want to point these ideas out to show what's going on out there. We can see example where we don't have the ability normally to see this, we get the example of what's been happening around us all the time. But these swift sanctions, and Biden's allies walk a tightrope, was these decisions are actually just administrative policy decisions. They're not based on any principle. But you look at the intention of Biden, based on this pipeline, now focus on what they're doing here, what they're saying, that we see in the discussion of their own people, and as I say, get the evidence from the enemy, if you will, get it out of their own mouth better than you, that the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, Cecilia Roos, I thought that was interesting, Cecilia Roos told NPR in the article, the president, working with our allies, is trying to impose economic sanctions on Russia that impose pain on the Russian economy. Understand the preface of the going after the pipeline here. But when you look further, you say, and you see it's reported by an EU official, we cannot block Russia's central bank reserves. They moved them out in the last year. And this is as I've been reporting behind the woodshed. And again, and to keep track of what they were doing, what Russia was doing in the lead up to all this. So this wasn't decided just overnight to just go attack. This has been a plan the entire time to protect itself. That we can keep track of how Russia was doing this so that we can have an example of what we need to do. Just a quick aside, that would mean moving your monetary condition away from digital, away from the buck if you can get away from, certainly out of debt, and move into the more substantial things like the gold and silver. And even cash now because of the digital direction they want to go. A hand-to-hand agreement with people on contract that you start utilizing instead of the presumptions of commerce. That you control is the most important part there. And this is what Russia's been doing. I've been reporting on this. I've been saying even China was doing it. They started reducing their liabilities in the Treasury directed FRNs, and they started reinvesting in themselves, going to gold, going to privatizing their system. You heard about the internet shutting down. They can shut the internet off from the rest of the world. Talk about sovereignty. This is what you're watching. This is what everyone has to plan to try and do. So here are all these pains on the Russian economy. Yeah, they're going to hit because this is just the nature of the globalist condition, which they're not completely a separate of, but they've been insulating themselves all this time. But the EU official comes up and tells us, we can't block Russia's central bank reserve. And internal, if you go read, there's another thing I don't think I got the link here for us, but they say they're just an adjustment. There's someone, a critic of that system who's completely Russia-centric, stating that the bureaucracy was not making the right calls relative to its central bank, that it would be a monetary policy construction, a change, which would fix their problem. And in the last year or so, apparently silently, the Russian administration has been taking advice from that. And so we hear about the ruble collapsing, but internal to the people of Russia, for their people, they can stabilize all that with a policy decision. And so the EU comes out and tells us, oh, Biden, you know, we can't do that. There's nothing we can do with the central banks. And the point is they could do something with the central bank. Don't miss that point. But it was not going to affect them because Russia has an alternative or two or three or maybe a dozen. I don't know what they've got. And then we read, we keep going on and looking through this to find out how much punishment can they do. Really, the whole point is what's the spit coming back in the breeze that's going on with this and the evidence of what's gone on. They say, oh, the pipeline's going to cripple and punish the economy of Russia. Oh, one pipeline, really? Really? Is not the rest of the world looking for stuff? But an article by Pepe Escobar, there's an Asian reporter now. You know, he moves around, international guy. Again, I'm not underwriting everybody totally here. I always take everything with a grain of salt. But he makes some interesting observations here. Someone a lot more versed in these generalities of geopolitics, and so I'll go with that a bit till I can, my pea brain can figure out maybe if there's a problem, but until then, I'll just kind of sit there and watch how he says exactly how Russia will counterpunch the US-EU declaration of war. Russia came out and said these economic sanctions are, as, I got to be careful here, They said, as a declaration of war. And so before I go to the point that it is a declaration of war, I'd have to hear it directly out of Putin's mouth. Putin would have to say, this is a declaration of war. He says, as, like, as money is not money, as law is not law, rules, all that stuff. Listen very carefully. The words are important. He didn't really say the declaring war. It's as declaring war. So they haven't made that decision for themselves on what they, when they will, but they're making a pushback, and Pepe Escobar says that Russia can counterpunch. And so it's not certain here what the punishment might be. Oh, you can hurt them a little bit, but like you're going to be fighting in this, the impotent United States fighting against a potent, important, the Mike Tyson Russia is kind of what we're looking at possibly here. Where Russia has insulated itself. And so when you see this article that Russia has a counterpunch, and I believe rightly so more than not, then again the United States spits into the stiff wind of its own face. Russia has been preparing, let's go look at the history for this, for an economic war as well. We all understand war is economics. And so they're not dumb. Again, we found out they have a mind that if we're going to put it on the standard of chess, they play chess really well. Now, notwithstanding the execution we see going on in Ukraine, I don't know about all what their failures are there, but this is not just about that. They certainly have enough to press through any problems they've had, whatever they are, on the slowness, so-called slowness. They're putting themselves, I think, on a 30-day mission here for Ukraine, so we've got plenty of weeks here. But anyway, going back to what my point is for us, look at that as a reflection of what's happening to us by our own people. What they're willing to do elsewhere, they're doing to you at home. That Russia's been preparing for economic war. Pepe Escobar goes on to write, and as I've suggested, the Russians have been preparing itself. Thus, he says, the next to last gasp at coercing Russia into submission by using the remaining workable American weapon of mass destruction, SWIFT, yet this weapon can be easily neutralized by rapid adoption of self-sufficiency. I think that's very astute because they've been doing that as well, as I've said. He sees that himself. Self-sufficiency pops up. I wouldn't go that far for we the people. We can be self-reliant, but as the globalistic kind of condition, we're really mutually in dependency of each other, and hopefully with all the same mindset to be free more than be usurped by tyrants. And I'm not seeing that reflection, but anyway, that's what is the obligation on us. We can individually, I think we can, or non-individually, I suppose, we can be self-reliant, I believe. Self-sufficient, not so much. Maybe in the most basic cave-like lifestyle, I suppose, but not to what we're understood, not what we're used to. But going on here, so he's identifying that the SWIFT can be neutralized by going self-sufficient. So he's already seen all this time, as well as what I've been telling you, as I've seen, even with the little bit of times I can spend, Russia has been prepared, and they don't need SWIFT. Yes, it'll hurt them. Yes, actually, but then we see the backlash, right? The spit comes back to the West because of all this. And it doesn't really hurt them ultimately. Right? So we look at all this and we think we have an importance here on what we look and observe and all this opinion that goes out, and really a waste of time at some point. But as you think your opinion matters in the Hatfield and McCoy feud, Treasury sanctions, I'm talking about you as the government too, as what we're the West, and we'd be represented by that West. The Hatfield and McCoy feud over there, the Treasury sanctions. Notwithstanding what Pepe Escobar has identifying for himself, and I've suggested as well, Treasury sanctions Russian-backed news outlets for advancing false narratives that undermine COVID vaccine, paint Ukraine as aggressor against a country that says it's going to finish what it started, and sanctions are a declaration of war. Shows you how impotent this Treasury sanctions is. And understand they combined COVID with the Ukraine war. If you didn't understand, there's still a connection. It's ongoing. So the worst that they can do, Treasury, this is supposed to be the money people, worst they can do is they go after your intelligence, your communications lines. Yeah, absolutely. This is a war. This is no doubt. The United States government knows all about that, and they're going right after economics and communication lines. And the fiscal or monetary people are going after communication lines. How important their position and opinion is. Is that going to hurt Russia? Well, if we can, and this is one of the things I'm speaking to. If we're going to be a people that are led by the nose, that we're drowned in the ideas of somebody else without critically thinking what the truth and the real morality is about this, that we can't really talk about for someone else, we're missing the whole point, that this is what we're being drug into this, not recognizing that these are the acts, the desperate acts of impotent people, nations. That they went after your communication system here, not the money. Don't miss these little things. Russia is not fazed, folks, because it is self-sufficient. Not just self-reliant, is why we talk, but self-sufficient. Whatever that nation ultimately needs, and it may be in a diminished capacity, but it has thought through that it can provide for its people completely. And that said, it will have other alliances that it's being relying on, which kind of diminishes the self-sufficiency aspect, but sometimes pragmatism is better. What they can do is be self-sufficient. But until then, they can be self-reliant and then go ahead and use other means to continue. This is a war. No excuses. We're just going to do what we need to do. We're going to find the allies that we find. And those sovereigns, those other independent people, nations, are going to be making their decisions based on their needs. Good, bad, or indifferent. Good, bad, or ugly. So the Treasury goes after the lines of communication, not the money, because it really doesn't matter. Russia is not going to be fixed. And I told you this here weeks ago when this was coming down. We're doing all the wrong decisions because we're in the wrong position and we don't have a play. Unless you want to go to what we're talking about, possibly World War III, what they say is World War III. And we're potentially close. That's a potential. That's something not to be disregarded. So Russia's not fazed, but that's what we're going to do anyway. That's all we can do as the United States. Treasury. The agency that rules your life can't rule Russia. Should be a good example for you to what you need to do. So we look out. I talked about it last week. I told you there was alternatives. And just as seen now this week in the article, stocks tied to China's swift alternative are soaring. Right after the war and the conditions started to happen, people started looking at China's alternative to swift. We now hear something called UnionPay through China. If you don't think China's in on the money side of this, they learned well from the Zionistas apparently. But these are all alternatives to SWIFT that could be relied on by Russia. And they are. Meaning that all this condition that this White House has been doing in NATO is invigorating the Chinese, the CIPS, or the Chinese Clearinghouse Interbank Payment System, or CHIPS system, which can be accessed by Russia. Just as I mentioned. I mentioned this years ago, folks. This is just what's out there. And this is not even having to look hard. And as I explained also, the pivot to China, the digital and monetary pivot to China is being perfected by the U.S. Look and see how they're doing that. And it has a set of rules, the globalism rules, sustainable rules. Watch how this is working. Now, from that standpoint, if I was saying, well, look, I already told you, Putin's putting in that global system in his country. I believe that that's bad. So I guess in that act, I can say Putin's bad, right? But when you say generically that Putin's bad, and everybody would not have an argument, that's mind control. That's handing over your authority to have to make the continuing hard decisions. And as I said, and listen very carefully to what I said before, I said particularly what Putin is doing in that regard to what the subject matter of the decision was made there relative to, is Putin bad? That's the Ukraine one. Relative to this decision on sustainability, globalism, how they're putting in the systems, I'd have to do a different analysis of it. So, Russia has its alternatives. We can go deny it all. We can blame Putin. They're in defense and survival mode at this point, even though they're superior. And notwithstanding all the skullduggery going on behind, oh, we're going to give money as the West and EU and the NATO. We're going to give money, and then what they're buying is mercenaries and sending them all to Poland to move into Ukraine. How nonsensical is that nonsense? But there we are. So, given that you set yourself up with self-reliance or self-sufficiency in the case of Russia, who has the power and who is actually getting hurt? And I hope you just looked into your mental mirror. Especially when you can't look around and see that you're self-reliant or self-sufficient. So this is all this nonsense is causing this condition, as I see it. The underlying of the underlying of the underlying condition of this thing I've seen for decades now. And the multiple layers of all this stuff, too. That's why I said there's just so much to talk about we could. But I have to focus on what I do once a week. Hopefully bring some clarity to people to start thinking, because I'm really concerned for people. I don't know why I am, but I am. I'm concerned for us. And that now extends around the world. We're really, last week's Global Iron Curtain broadcast, I titled Global Iron Curtain. I hope people understand what I'm talking about. And then we blame Russia, but we're bringing on ourselves, the so-called beacon of democracy, the same thing, but globally. And this is all being directed by someone in a Twitter poster that captured relative to the speech that was made, where it was said, quote, Putin. Boy, I don't know, folks. This stuff is really funny, in a terrifying sort of way, like I say. I don't know what to think about it. It does make me laugh. Putin may circle, this is what this guy says, this supposed president. Putin may circle Kiev with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. Yeah, yep, Biden said that. I heard it. It was on Twitter. It was on a video. I heard that. Even though I didn't listen to the total speech, it makes me sick actually listening to these guys. I literally cannot listen to them. Kind of like listening to Hillary Clinton's voice. Hillary Clinton. But anyway, yeah, Biden said that. Putin may circle Kiev with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. Yeah, folks, he was jabbed, wasn't he? He was jabbed, wasn't he? He said a whole lot of other things, too. Just an embarrassment. Really an embarrassment. But that's what's running, that's making decisions here. So, think about, go back to, I said this, the United States spits in the face of its own people. Getting back, stopping a pipeline will cripple the economy, and why they started to do that. This guy said that. Now, does he misspeak? It's interesting, he doesn't misspeak here. They know very well that stopping energy is going to be a problem. Why? You see the Green New Deal. It's a serious attack on people. Again, when I say these things, my mind has just explodes with all the layers to talk about. I've talked about it all through the decades here. And behind the witch, Real Liberty Media and Oracle and Republic Broadcasting, all that. I've been talking about it. I don't know if people really appreciate it, but I'm talking about it. I'm mentioning how to go see it. That stopping the pipelines and the sustainability and this adjunct policy and all this stuff is there. It's in your system already. These people know how to hurt you. They said they're hurting Russia with it, and stopping pipelines will cripple the economy. And isn't Biden also the same guy that stopped the pipelines in America too? Before Ukraine. To punish Americans. You think? What else could it be for? Because climate change, the Great Reset, of course, because climate change. This guy knows how to hurt Americans, and he is. Look at what's going on, folks. I mean, it's just fascinating how they're moving this thing through underneath the collar of other things. Color revolution, it's going on continuously in the United States of America, in Canada, Kyrgyzstan, and every other place that the rule of law and democracy runs. It's another layer of how this thing gets worked. But anyway, moving on to more, and by another official criminal telling us what needs to happen. Just stunning to me. It crumples my little guy in me coming up through the world wanting to be part of the Peace Corps and peace on earth, goodwill to men, go around, see people, you know, enjoy people in the world. This, another official criminal tells us what has to happen. Senator Lindsey Graham calls for Vladimir Putin's assassination. Can I laugh at this one? I have to, because my hands start wanting to strangle somebody. So stupid is this state representative, because he's a senator now. He represents the state, a state. So stupid, S-T-O-O-P-I-D for the insensitive ears there, is this state's representative. We are told in an article that he doubled down on his call for Vladimir Putin's assassination. And so bereft of statesmanship, he maintains no consideration or forethought or of the consequence. Or does he, folks? Listen very carefully on what's going on, what may be happening, and how we might use that, too. So I'm looking at this thinking, oh, this is interesting. Everybody's got their attack angle. We can have ours as well. They can justify open doors for us, and we can use them. We don't have to stoop so low, but we can then do other things. Now, there might be some of us that might, but that's not for me to call. That's not what I do behind the woodshed, not what I advocate. So then, here we are as well. What is this call to assassinate Putin? Does Lindsey Graham think that this is a one-way street? Are you putting all this together, folks, when you hear this stuff? I was just shocked. I could not believe this even come out of their mouth. But here it is. Here it is. Handed to us to consider. And this is the thing I say. Even Ukraine gave us something to consider. If Russia wasn't the Soviet Union, then NATO lost its purpose, didn't it? This is so out of the mouth of the antagonist. Run by a Zionista, no less, if you haven't figured all that out, another layer. Well, getting back to this, does Lindsey Graham think that assassination's a one-way street when he asks what he does, when he presents what he does? And these are the criminal thugs representing you. You say no? You had better rethink that. You had better rethink that. And this is what's been running this whole country, this type of an idea. So we get to inquire now. Is assassination by a Brutus now the answer for all corrupt officials? Do they really want to go there? Does this guy really want to go there? Well, your representatives think so, notwithstanding the White House claim to the contrary. Of course they want to go there. You think they don't talk about it? You think this guy's just a loose cannon? No, this is all part of it. Don't forget, folks, it's all through the, I talk about this all and on and on and on. It's all like a continuum in my mind. Well, I don't even know. I'm just going to mention a little bit of side stuff. I've talked about all this before. These people don't care about being statesmen, diplomat, or nothing. They have these, I don't even know what they are. They're just crime. Crime in the world. For what? I don't know. We can call it, we give it excuses. These are just evil people. These are people in their heart. Someone like this calling out for Brutus to take out Putin, who doesn't understand that's a two-way street, who may be looking around, there's a Brutus in his own country that may not like what he said. It's not someone that's looking to make peace anywhere in the world, folks. And then we can only expect that Russia was a lot more aware. Think about how long ago they were planning for this to protect themselves. Before I'm going to condemn Putin bad. The orange man bad? Anything that don't like, you don't like, bad? That's what that is? Is that what Carlson stepped down to? I don't say that he's a bad guy. I'm just saying be careful in what we listen to and what we embrace. But moving on here, don't forget the 2010 murder memo. Remember that one? Don't forget the murder memo. The 2010 murder memo is what the current Pope at wields. And that is where there is no law. Not even the Lieber Code. Remember? And then we have the prior to that, the expedient, the rules that rules the day. The expedient is that since 2009 at least, open fraud pays for it all. And I anticipated all of this as I saw it coming and hoping people would see it enough to kind of get themselves together to figure out we have a bigger problem. And the assassins and the callers of assassins, the aiders and abettors of crime and fraud are in the government. Why? I tell you, you don't have a government. It stopped working as an organic establishment long ago. So, I mean, it really did kind of shock me a bit calling for somebody else, a third party, to take out a president. Now, I'm kind of divorcing any idea of making judgments here. I'm just saying, do you want to do that, actually? In particular, where you have somebody says, we have no other way out than to make war on our own brothers. Do you really want to push that? And yet this idiot did that. And so here it is. That's a reality in the world. So just asking questions here. Do the people have the higher authority to alter or abolish tyranny? In the United States of America, if you don't have it in Kanukistan or anywhere else, do the people in the United States of America have the higher authority to alter and abolish tyranny? Is Lindsey Graham immune upon his own suggestion? Is assassination of all corrupt leaders, wherever they are found, quote, on the table, as they say? Who can guarantee otherwise? When you open that can, when you open that box, who can guarantee otherwise? No, not the Rock Group, the OWL, or those of Whoville, or even the World Health Organization. Who, the man or woman, can guarantee Lindsey Graham did not open that door to unilateral assassinations of every leader everywhere? The damage is done, folks. You have to appreciate the international implications of all this. Local to you. But I keep telling you, you've got a broken mirror, you're looking out back at us. It's a carnival mirror of what the government will willing to do to you. The 2010 murder memo against you is this. And this senator just spewed it out. No respect. No consideration. This is what's in the government. The damage is done, folks. And I told you that you could start working on this if you will. Where will the Brutuses of the world respond upon his suggestion? Well, it didn't take long, and I don't know where the limit is. And I've told you, folks, there's, you know, we talk, maybe I shouldn't say too much, but looking around the world and how nuts people are, and how maybe not so nuts they are, because maybe they have a justification. Why we're not hearing more of the creaky ropes, I don't really know. I'm really kind of surprised at that. I would have thought more of the insanity that's gone on, and the license has been given to people. Now this. The infection of violence, folks. You think that doesn't get spread quick? No, right in the news, right after the point. Not upon what Lindsey Graham says, but on another thing. On the assassination note, continuing along. Do you really open your mouth and you open that Pandora's box or not? As a statesman and diplomatic censorship, if you will, but you don't necessarily want to breach too sporadically or frequently or whatever. Or either way, you don't want to broach that. But we hear it right after that. It shows you how volatile things can be. We have an internal feud in Hatfield or the McCoy, I haven't figured out which. Kiev Nazis killed their negotiator, Denis Kireri, liquidated. The negotiator for the Kiev Nazis, and I notice these titles aren't saying K-Y-I-V anymore, they're Kiev, the Nazis killed their negotiators. They killed their own. Right after Lindsey Graham pops up and says this. And don't underestimate the connection to these Azov battalion type people. Yeah, they're inbred between the United States and them. Their negotiator was liquidated. The SBU liquidated a member of the negotiating group of Ukraine, Denis Kireyev, because he was suspected of treason. Yeah, without it, just They say it was during the arrest. Well, don't we hear that in the United States? You think what's happening out there is not happening here? You think being called an enemy combatant isn't another form of saying that each man, woman, or child, so-called, in the United States isn't committing treason, where the one who's claiming that, the bureaucrat claiming that, is in treason? COVID told us all about that. If anybody would have stepped up, at least a lot more than we saw one. Yeah? See, what have they done to you at home under the color of COVID as well, without demonstrating the non-fraudulent exigency? And these people killed someone just suspected of treason. And I was telling you for 2 years that these officials are committing it against you by not giving you the depriving of the due process. And like I said, I'm amazed that people haven't come around. Well, Lindsey Graham popped up with it, opens the Pandora's box of assassination, and we're all being suffering the same treasons in for different reasons. Fascinating to me. And then we get, so they assassinate the United States is supporting the people that assassinate their negotiator because they suspect him of treason. And then the Ukraine armed forces destroyed their headquarters, the Azov Nationalist Battalion headquarters in Mariupol, because those people, those neo-Nazis, wouldn't listen to Ukraine. As we were told, they were a separate defensive militia that were not really in control. The Ukraine armed forces destroyed their headquarters, killed them. When what? They weren't listening to reason. They were going to decide to harm the citizens there. They weren't going to allow people to a humanitarian corridor, which we hear now Russia is doing, artillery, which is a lie. I told Twitter that too. I said, if you continue to do this in Russia, you could be arrested. It is coming on the news. Or at least promoted it so. I think I just saw that past it. But anyway. So the Ukraine army destroys the headquarters of the Azov Nationalist Battalion because they're not listening to Ukraine, cannot be a unified government organization and military anyway. So assassination here, out of the mouth of Lindsey Graham, we see it over there where the United States has its finger holds right on the groups that the United States is funding, and assassination is in the air. That escalated quickly, didn't it? Think about how this is working, folks. This is just, I don't know what more to say. Pay attention. They're all examples of what goes on, the dynamic of things in the world. Your words have force and effect. They talk about spelling. They conjure up things. They give license to people. But I'm saying that these people in the United States that are doing all this, whatever they're doing, even in their misspeaking or discussion, are telling us something that they're willing to do to literally everybody. But for us in the United States, the people have to focus on that for them. Again, clean our house up before we start thinking Putin bad. Also, I find it interesting, too, beyond the Nazi moniker. We see pictures. There was a Twitter, I think it was, the Ukraine. More and more anti-fascists are joining the resistance committee in Ukraine, fighting as a coalition of different groups against the Russian invasion. And seeing in that Twitter the picture, the flags remind me of Antifa with the large A prominently somewhere on it. Again, the similar mindset of how they're promoting overthrow and coup and whatever, sprung, is in their symbology as well. So, again, I just hear this condemnation of people in the world by people who have really, we don't have a clue, we don't have a right, we don't have a dog in that fight. We try to insert ourselves where we aren't needed or wanted or have a right to be, and then we try to tell people what to do. It seems to be the United States government overall in all of history, it seems, at some point. But it's also, if you will, canceled. I mean, where did this creature crawl out from underneath the rock? I don't know. But so getting back, then after irresponsibly opening that door in the idea of assassinating public officials, Lindsey Graham, we are told in the article, he walks back on his call for Putin's assassination. Does so without apology and only to say, as stated in the article, quote, the Russian dictator, quote, needs to go to jail, close quotes. Now, how weak and stupid, S-T-O-O-P-I-D, for the sensitive ear of ear, how weak and stupid are we, the people, going to be to tolerate such incompetence and maladministration in that statescraft? He's supposed to be representing the view of a state, and he says this stuff internationally, and then we have this constitution that say that incompetence and or maladministration is not to be tolerated, and we are. I mean, beyond the vocal condemnation, there should be action taken. So every other state senator who heard that, who didn't move to get him impeached, is also aiding and abetting. And he does this, say, again, the multifaceted problem that we're dealing with. He states this thing on assassination, we see some follow-through on it, and I don't know now what the limit might be and what would be the limit. If Senator Graham said it's good enough, then by golly, let's just go ahead and lay waste to all those corrupt, bad folks in government. Right? I mean, that's what he's done. And he does this to show you how bad this is, while it said we are on the brink of nuclear war. And let's bring back the one who foments this. Is that the dark winter Biden plans? Or I mean, speaks of, maybe. Did the jab affect these people that much that we really might be looking at that this time? Because Russia's not putting up with it. They'd have no fear at this point. There it is. Another example. No fear. They're going to do what they can do because they also know that they've prepared as best as they can in all fronts to do the battle and wage the battle that they want to do. And that's what I advocate always. I see people stepping into a battle too quickly before they understand the terrain. And I cringe a bit, but I don't know what else to do. We want to solve problems, but we don't understand the battlefield. So I've been trying to get people to know the battlefield much, much, much better than I noticed that we do. But for people at this level, when they talk about that dark winter, I'm talking beyond the transformation, the Great Reset. Lindsey Graham makes this statement at a time that literally we're sitting on the brink of nuclear war. Some would say that Putin has the answer to that. I guess he could say. I guess he could just say, yep, it's time. So why are you pushing? Why do you poke the bear? I'm pausing here, but I'm just like, I don't even know where does the people, we continue to do things and say things and retweet other people and don't step up and say, whoa, 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 you lunatics. It was also, so I don't know, just because my thoughts have to go back to what I was thinking of as I go through these ideas, but it was also said the justification, if we can put that in air quotes, justification, as to the consequence of Russian response to NATO stands designs on the Ukraine, that this is, such a serious threat to democracy worldwide without there being some cost here at home. And so I bring up again, here the notice to you is Biden intends for it to cost you. See, they justified the attack by NATO stand, not really an attack, but the threat and the help of Ukraine as a third-party surrogate. I don't know if it's a proxy war quite yet, but possibly. Not quite yet, but it's looking like on the borderline. That it's going to bring, these are going to cost home. Well, there you are. There's the admission that it's a spit into the stiff wind. And Biden's driving this. Even though he's been jabbed, and even though I can't say that, but he doesn't understand a concept, he doesn't know one people from the next, and anyway, it doesn't matter. That's who's on the front end of this sphere. Do you think Biden intends to punish Americans badly, imposing pain, increasing the cost of living? He said he is. He's telling you how they're going to do it. He's already taken action to take away some of your energy. Stifle Kanukistan. You can't even give us the energy. Oh, the COVID interfered the barter. Now you can't even get commerce. You think he intends for us to have the cost of living go up? Imposing pain upon us? If you aren't seeing this, folks, I don't know what to say. I guess part of this is get. If you haven't seen it before, start to prepare on that. I don't know how we all do that. I think we're maybe getting a little late, but we'll do our best. I know we can rise up. I'm not saying this is all defeat. But they make these excuses and so-called justifications, and they're doing that at home, folks. You better pay attention. Do you think Biden intends to punish Americans badly? I don't know how you come up with a different discussion than yes. And we already know the green religion sits there, so come on. It's not hard to go. Do you think Biden intends to punish, impose the pains where he says it's going to cost us? Why is it costing us, folks? We're not supposed to even have a dog in the fight. But they're not talking about the war in Ukraine here. They haven't been. That's another cover. That's why out went COVID one day and in came the missiles. And on top of that, when you look and talk about that, this connection, did you notice that Ukraine isn't actually a democracy when they say it threatens democracy all worldwide? Ukraine's not actually a democracy. And neither is the United States, but for different reasons. So something, and that's something I forgot to mention last week. The suspects guy, Adrian over there, he mentioned that. I had heard that here a couple days ago when I listened to their broadcast, their discussion. He had mentioned that. I forgot to mention. There's so much to mention. Be careful on what you embrace. Be careful on, like, Putin bad. Well, I don't know. I mean, not even in talking in our sphere, if you will. But at any rate, so yeah, the Ukraine virtue, all reality, memory chip in place for COVID-19 pandemic has been replaced with the Ukraine overnight. Oh, you remember the COVID pandemic, people dying in the streets everywhere, theft of your liberties till today, right? Where did that go? Yeah, it's all a big scam, and we keep listening to it. We even have that people's convoy. Good on them, but as I've told you, it's missing the point. It's missing the point. Well, let's move into more things. I'll move from Ukraine. The reflection upon us, who's doing to whom, what. Yes, people around the world are going to be harmed by what's going on. Yes, that's going to happen. Whether or not it's going to truly punish someone who's prepared for it, I'm not so sure. What about y'all who aren't? When it comes to whiplash, the spit comes flying at hurricane speed back in our face. Something that took cover over while COVID-19 is still in play. And that got me thinking some more, because that's not going to go away, because I told you, they're the lingering authorities that no one's challenging. And looking at try to look at different angles on how to pull this through. Given the VARS wide-ranging and widespread harms, and where you look and you see that the numbers are just outlandish, criminal. Then you hear where jurisdictions haven't admitted to any injury in them. My thoughts have been trying to figure out how that's possible. And then my thoughts are, well, how do we use that? You have this supposed war that now destroys our lives in lots of different ways, in disadvancing the system, again, that COVID didn't quite get done, that Greta didn't quite get done. But we still now see an attack on our people. Harmful, proprietary chemical weapons being allowed by Biden and Trump as well. I mean, don't forget all that. It's all the same. It's all the same. Same attack. The question became, with all these wide-ranging injuries, and we don't hear jurisdictions admitting to any injury, I'm wondering, did that county or the jurisdiction there get a saline solution? The point here is, how could, where there's wide-ranging harm, counties have or jurisdictions have no harm reported, unless the reporting's false or something's not been done, but this opens the door. Even, again, I told you on how you exercise, the jujitsu moves, how you do this. So, if they have no harms, and there are harms, my question in my mind was, has the county been defrauded? Relative to, if there is no harms, then maybe the so-called jab was nothing more than saline solution, because we would expect some harms. And so now you're looking at the defrauding of the county. And that brings on another type of approach, a challenge. So did the, where there is no harms, did the, where's the audit showing that the county wasn't defrauded, together with the answer as to why or where the VAERS system admits harms occur generally, and why none exist in that jurisdiction? Again, I'm trying to attack this underlying dereliction of duty, that it never stops, even so in the so-called remedy of it. That we look inside the data and it's not showing, you get them on the, they committed to a direction, so you try to figure out how to bring out the fact, well, if there are no harms, then maybe the county was defrauded on all the jabs that were given to the people, and the people then may be under risk. Given that we presume there's an infectious agent that they fail to identify. You get back to there. But you, I think, get to challenge where there's no harms, where VARS says that there is, that there's no harms in a jurisdiction, the veracity of that information and or whether or not people in the county got defrauded. And then you get to demand the audit that showed how, where they didn't, they're the anomaly to that system of no harm. How is it? Did they do the audit that they weren't defrauded? Are the people still at risk? Given you can even use their so-called, even their fabricated numbers to say, oh, it's continuing and growing and whatever, as we know it's not, but use that. You get to continue to say and ask whether in the same challenge or whether that was investigated to find out what the mysterious immunity is to combat a merely presumed pandemic. If there's no harm in a place, you are some pretty healthy people. What was in your people that kept you from dying in the streets? There's a valid question relative to looking at this harms problem, and none exist. Another, you know, again, it's just trying a different way, a different tack to get it to the truth. You put them in a complexity trap, if you will. The idea that there was the dereliction to identify an infectious agent, now they have no harms. How is that even possible? And then you throw the other side of it on. It may be because our people are our water is just that good. And you have to press on people to make that determination. If nothing else, just to see them squirm, because they're completely trapped no matter how you do this, but you've got to do something. I guess this is, I keep coming up with these ideas for people in case they're not thinking about, well, I don't have nothing to do. No, we all have something we could do. So, if you got nothing going on, what was this mysterious immunity? Well, did you find that out? Maybe you had an answer for the world, folks, in your jurisdiction. Your health official could be a hero or a heroine, although I heard somewhere that's been illegalized. Anyway, so understand and don't forget, all this is set and premised on the fact that this is a man-made disaster. So they're kind of trapped. And you can always check that out once they get committed. You've got to get them to respond. That's, again, part of our problem talking with our petition. You've got to get a response. Otherwise, we're sitting in that vacuum, that crickets. It may not be so good where we actually need some help. But this is a man-made disaster. It's an illusion established beyond the local jurisdiction and extra jurisdictional to the local health authority, where they're acting without demonstrating that non-fraudulent exigency in breach of the separation of powers doctrine and the legislative mandate limiting the authority to the demonstrated infectious agent upon certain people, not the entire population. So what am I doing? I'm going back to, my mind goes back through and to what was supposed to be required in the communicable disease law. That is the foundation upon which you get to ask, well, hey, we had this big pandemic. You didn't do this check, but you're claiming that there's no harms, and the VARS says there should have been at least a harm. What's up with that? Are we special? Are we a special people? Do we have the water in the world we should ship out to the world? What an economic boon we could have if it's the water that keeps us from being harmed. Point is, I'm trying to attack this problem that's the war against us in different ways. I just bring this as an option to consider. I'm hearing lots of people, you know, looking, and I've been listening for it. I don't see the harms. So my mind starts working on this. So I don't know what value that is if no one picks it up, but it's there to at least be brought forward. And, okay, so this pandemic, man-made, worldwide type stuff came to mind. I'm still, you know, we talked about Ukraine and all this other stuff. Well, something came up during the week. As I'm trying to go through something came out through the week right after the broadcast. As we left that broadcast last week, I noticed an old tweet before they cut off my notifications at Twitter I noticed an old tweet come up and being responded to that I'd put, if you will, in the memory hole that it got some activity from somebody. And periodically that happens, so that wasn't a big deal. But then I got another one. And this posting I did was back in 2018. And then I did some quick checking. Like, why is this all of a sudden an interest? And it happened to be about the Luger Biolab in Georgia. And I said, so I looked around, and apparently biolabs were in the news because it was said that Russia was attacking the biolabs in Ukraine. Not much different than the nuclear attack on the facilities and this and that. But I think we're watching to see how careful Russia is. But so I got to thinking about, wow, this is pretty interesting, this memory hole post. The tweet said, let's put this tweet that I posted, let's put this in the memory hole for now. Quote, leaked documents containing information on the laboratory located near Tbilisi. I screwed that up, didn't I? They named after the United States Senator Richard Lugar. The lab may have secretly conducted experiments on people, some of which had lethal outcomes. Now, though this is in Tbilisi, Georgia, no, not the state, the country, for some reason, there was a question as to their existence in that area, but that Russia was attacking. And so this brought up this whole other thing in my mind when I saw that. This triggered by a Twitter feed. So yeah, Twitter has its value. Memory hole item comes back up as important, even though it's a different country, but that brought up the whole idea of labs being attacked. And then the question for me was, why would Russia attack a bioweapons lab? And that's the underwriting thing why I kept checking. And maybe you should too. And then it qualifies whether what Russia's intention really is or not, whether they're claimed and bad or not. So there was a question at the biolabs, but then I went and did some quick research and I found it was reported back in 2020. It's an update since the time I put that post in Twitter, was so that the new data leak from the Pentagon Biolaboratory in Georgia was reporting the fact of this bioweapons lab existence and function. And so in this case, the memory hole became continually relevant. But this little piece of information I found, didn't know what to do with it. It wasn't being talked about at the time. Though it was knowledge and history, it wasn't at the time important. But I felt, no, this is going to keep coming up. And sure enough, here we are. People found it. Don't follow me. They just found it on Twitter. And that this little memory hole point and this new report isn't so much that the memory hole explains what it explains as far as what it's doing, but it explains how to identify propaganda as well. The continuing analysis of what's going on here, even by our own actions and trying to get feedback. And my thought about how this is working, the question, the lack, the investments the United States government has done, even naming a biolab after U.S. Senator, Lindsey Graham, you're going to Lindsey Graham Biomedical Weapons Lab, you're going to have one of those, assassin, with the word assassin, we assassinate everyone. That would be kind of fun. I don't think we're going to see it, but so I'm pretty sure looking at all this question that popped up right after the broadcast about these bioweapons and Russia attacking, the fact of the propaganda that's going on, I'm pretty sure that Russia wouldn't bomb a bioweapons lab. They wouldn't actually attack the labs. like they wouldn't intentionally breach a nuclear power plant as promoted by the lying President Zelensky, which came out when Russia went after and took control of the nuclear power plants or plant over there. They keep on moving. They're running around and they're controlling that infrastructure. They haven't destroyed it, and they were very careful not to destroy it. So the fact that the bioweapons lab made the news again and pointing to U.S. involvement in manufacturing bioweapons became important. The denial of it by the United States, no less, even though they admit it. It's all the nonsense, the propaganda thing. I kept checking, again, to kind of bring my memory back up about what was going on. I tracked down a report that said the U.S. Embassy removes all evidence of Ukraine bioweapons lab, stating that the United States Embassy has removed all the evidence of bioweapons labs in Ukraine from their website. And I'm thinking, well, why would the U.S. do that, right? Again, think about what's happening, all the lies that are being told. Putin bad, United States in denial. All of a sudden, all this information that's not supposed to be there gets pulled from a website that was always there. Why? Right now, why? And then we go on to read part of that article. It says maybe that where the article points out, quote, this comes at a time when the world population is waking up to the reality of gain-of-function weapons, research, lab leaks, and predatory vaccine and diagnostics development. Yeah, pretty good statement. Pretty good observation. I think so. And someone's not thinking far enough ahead, like they don't. Like we see Lindsey Graham do it. It goes on to say, these biolabs generate pathogens of pandemic potential that exploit human immune systems and that are the foundation of which medical fraud, malpractice, vaccine-induced death, and genocide originate. Then what have we seen in COVID-19? That's not ended yet. Then in doing some more study, it just so happens as I'm getting, I told you, I'm changing my tabs now, what's more important. Last night, I think it ran across in the Twitter feed that I did get, I ran across an article, I think it was posted last night by Gary L., at least when I got it. Excuse me, the Twitter feed from Gary L.'s and Gigi's Boo WordPress site. The title of that was U.S. Biolabs in Ukraine, and Gary has compiled even more info, and that the Ukraine embassy itself, not just the United States, but the Ukraine embassy deleted references to the Biological Threat Reduction Program, and explaining where you can find the deleted pages in his website. I'll give you a link later. So this all started to come here in the last week. This question, the memory hole pops back up, identifies as there's stuff going on that doesn't want to be admitted. The quick check confirms the continuation of these processes. And then as I'm going back through, I want to remind you as well on top of all this, another on top of the memory hole Twitter post, the story back when, and this is a backward step in time, in 2015 from the Trenches World Report, revisiting the story of Joseph Mosha on the question, do these labs exist in Ukraine? I mean, this isn't even a question, but we're going to go through it anyway. This Joseph Mosha was the alleged Mossad microbiologist, in quotes, in parentheses here, stating that the swine flu vaccine is a bioweapon. And I want to remind us of his bizarre arrest-ish, where he really wasn't arrested, more than put in a mental hold, and then slowly, and then released over time, and he disappears. It was called, considered the Westwood standoff, where he seemed immune to pepper spray. If you recognize that, and people surmise that his knowledge of all this, he had something in his system that could stop, pepper spray didn't respond to him. And then we move back again, this guy, 2010, on the report of a 2009 article, quote, U.S. diseases linked to missing Israeli scientists, stating that, quote, media outlets across the Northwest United States began reporting on April 24th, back then now, folks, that a strange, previously unknown strain of virulent airborne fungi that has already killed at least 6 people in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho is spreading throughout the region. That, quote, physicians in the Pacific Northwest are reporting that an undetermined number of people in the region are ill from the effects of the strange strain. Physicians also say that the virulent strain can infect domestic animals as well as humans, you animals, and symptoms do not appear until anywhere from 2 or 4 months after exposure. Symptoms in humans, you animals, include a lingering cough, sharp chest pains, fever, night sweats, weight loss, headaches, and shortness of breath. Sound familiar? Y'all remember COVID-19, don't you? Yeah, being on the precipice of nuclear war and all. We want to talk about that. No, that's still going on. So, and this, the article keeps going and says that, quote, credible sources have linked MSHA to the grossly underreported outbreak of the flu in Ukraine. As we kind of skip through some history, make the connections as best we can. And yes, it is all connected, isn't it? Thank you, Grimner. And Circle. Oh, and goodbye as I see you left. The outbreak in Ukraine. So we're back to there. Other reliable sources, including two former Fort Detrick biochemists, have also linked MSHA with the mysterious disease that is becoming alarmingly common in Vermont and other states, including California. The disease is known to have killed and incapacitated at least 10 to 20 rural dwellers and farmers. Your food supply, I suppose, folks, huh? And another report here going on at the time states, quote, Baxter Pharmaceutical has been caught red-handed in spreading a live genetically engineered H5N1 bird flu vaccine as a lethal biological weapon all over the world, destined to be used for human vaccinations. Baxter International Incorporated had mixed live genetic engineered avian flu viruses and vaccine material shipped to 18 countries that the Baxter knew their vaccine was lethal because the year before they had tested it on a few hundred homeless Polish people and dozens died as a result. You heard that behind the woodshed, that story too? And so it's not, I've been on this, it's just how much can you cover? So it only in this case, and reading the story here, it goes on and it went on in other spots, only by sheer luck, a Czech laboratory decided to test the vaccine on a dozen ferrets, which all died in days. Ferrets dying. Sound familiar, folks? Yeah. U.S.-sponsored Ukraine bioweapon labs? Don't be ridiculous. Okay? This is, again, Putin. Is Putin bad? Are you thinking so? They're attacking bioweapons? Do you think he bombed those and exposed the bioweapons lab to those people? If he did, how come no one's dead is the other point, if for those of you that are kind of just listening to the news, or that Putin bad. If Putin bad, they'd have been bombing those things, no doubt. But that's not the point. And so here we have people dying, it's under test, pharma, all this stuff, people dying and being irreparably harmed brings me back to the other green religion sustainable attack I didn't mention earlier, forcing, if you go back up to the broadcast top here. These 2 hours have gone streaming along, trying to keep up. Sustainability here, folks. I didn't mention earlier here, forcing everyone into prosperity. Okay? Defined in Agenda 2030 to be austerity, and we've talked all about this, and ultimately being you in debt. That was about two-thirds of the way through that document. I found that for you. Read it through. I read through the whole thing to explain it all to you years ago. So all this was furthered. We're bringing this all back to COVID and the parts that Greta didn't finish. And then now, how about the producers in Kyrgyzstan complaining their pipelines can't transport more to cover the shortages as Biden insists on blockading oil or carbon from Russia? Forget about the percentages here and what the Russia does. It's all about knocking down your life, about knocking down your economy, your livelihood, all that stuff. This is underpinning this whole thing on top of all this other stuff. All this other stuff is going on too, but this is the cover is driving the continuing agenda emplacement, execution. And do you think, okay, so sustainable stuff. You got the sustainable green popette. He's not the pope here, the green pope. He's the popette. He's a worker. Biden intends to hurt America badly and impose pain as well. Impose the Foreign World Economic Forum agenda on it, as tyrant Trudeau did upon Kyrgyzstan. Do you see any distinction here? Biden says the pipelines are going to punish people. Punish Russia? Do you think it's not punishing us? Look around. I think everyone will have to agree that's what's going on. And then we move into the Pope, the Popette, who's running the show about some of this stuff internationally. And speaking of all that and abusive Popettes, we read this little quick little thing that goes through the media. Argentinian bishop, previously defended by Pope, found guilty of sexually abusing seminarians. The conviction brings discredit to the infallible Green Pope Francis. Did you hear about that one? No, likely not. No, and so we keep going. It's on and on. This criminals are available to see, all running concurrently, all running to destroy our lives, and no one really moves to notice some of this enough. And yes, we can't do much about the Pope, maybe not even the Popettes, but we can look directly where we are and notice around us the infrastructure that was put in, that we hear about everywhere, that is implementing these very problems that we're living today. And as distasteful as that last story, we see the quote here, brace for rationing. As they move in austerity, they move in food controls, modernization of all the things I told you back in 2010, 2011 that will hit the United States, the infrastructure built into the United States government that they're executing on right now. And we now see the quote, bracing for rations, rationing, as the food crisis escalates. This is the video from the Ice Age Farmer. And thank you to the emailer to put this in late to bring this up. It's very important. I think we're right there to see it. I think he sees it. I think Christian sees this very well now. He actually shows where he posted talking about the word brace for rationing, I think over a year ago or so, he'll show you. The point is, he's looking at consistency with the titles, the notice in the news. He picked up on this. I'm going to pick up on it for you to tell you. Brace for rationing, folks. However this is coming down, whether it's overt like in the war or not, this is what's happening. And you got to see the video to see all the comprehensive attack that's going on, partly through this thing going on in Russia. Again, the Ukraine, the breadbasket of the world. You see, we have on and on stories about this. And so I think it should be fairly clear now we're looking at the imposition of the global Iron Curtain, as I titled that last week's broadcast. Again, moving into a global Holodomor. You know, go back to Ukraine and the Soviet Union, because see, Russia's not Soviet, right? By Ukraine's own statement. So look at the global Holodomor, where you can take example from the Soviets, where they took control of food production and starved out the peasants. If you don't understand what farm to fork means. And boy, I'm going to leave that joke hanging right there. So pay attention, folks. Christian, I think, is telling you something. He's identified this phrase. It's popped up. It became the news. It's all part of what I've been saying as well, so I don't have a problem with handing you off to his. He's been focused on it where I haven't. I believe this is the predictable. He's saying it's in the news. It's in the notice now. It's coming. So the point is brace for rationing, and it's being pushed by the media. And as we see the titles of articles, the breadbasket of the world choked off by Russian invasion as wheat prices soar. So be careful to get too involved on where you get your stuff. Yes, that is, but remember there's a demand. Where there's a restraint on supply, someone will demand more even. In fact, Pakistan just did that. They went immediately to try and grab more wheat. And so this drives a whole different type of erratic chaos within the markets, that the breadbasket of the world is being choked off by the Russian invasion of wheat prices soar. And another one, China ag minister says winter wheat production condition could be the worst in history. Okay, so we don't just have what's happened in Ukraine. We have Mother Nature and governments attempting to feed their own people being obstructed in being able to do so. Okay, so we got to be careful on how this plays out. So if we were told that the United States is losing a bit of its production, they're trying to compensate by going to what, to Idaho or Montana? That ain't going to cut this, folks. Be cautious on how the world needs to continue to eat, and don't underestimate the problem with Russia and not giving you, the EU, the energy that it needs on top of it all. This is a pretty volatile condition that was all fomented by the United States and whatever design someone has about that. As we now, the spit in our face from all this, and this now is also global, the global Holodomor. You might even have food. You may not be able to afford it. As we now see, instead of just 8%, food prices jump 20.7% year to year to hit the record highs in February, a UN agency said. So there's another notice to us. As I was telling you, it looked like this was going exponential here real soon, just a couple weeks ago. Apparently it has been. And they're telling us that it's now jumping higher and higher. And also when you read some of these stories, you'll see what governments are doing to offset where they're going. And like China's moving from the wheat into soybeans and vegetable oils. You see that right here. They actually talk to this stuff in dairy products in a trying to compensate. But do you want GMO soy as your food source in future? Well, isn't that they've been driving you into that future, haven't they? With you wanting, they wanted you to eat bugs and impossible burgers with that special soy protein that interferes with your biological processes that they don't want to admit to, like they say the jabs are safe. This comes all from the same people. So again, to move on to the tab here, never forget, as this thing moves along, as I try to keep the coherency of the broadcast going, subject matter to subject matter, never forget the same politicians calling for freedom now are the ones who took yours away months ago. The story from the Free Thought Project. And I won't even read more, just there it is. As you're focusing on going on the Putin bad, you know, all this other stuff, and they even mentioned the first paragraph in the aftermath of 9/11. I told you this is an extension of that whole time period. Remember the murder memo. That all came from the PATROT Act and what was triggered by our self-inflicted wound called 9/11. We know it was 9/11. And the incremental lockdown of all this stuff, they use the word lockdown, over the years, that Putin finally said, enough is enough. I said, well, I've been asking y'all, when's enough enough? Well, you just saw it for Russia. You just saw it. You're watching it. They're willing to put the world in chaos. And they're, not that they don't care, they're not going to take that as an excuse. They're not going to take all that fear and dread as an excuse. They're not going to live under terrorism. But you have to understand that. And that's why I don't know about Putin bad. I really don't. If I had to put myself in that place, I don't know what different decision. I can't even tell you how I could even know enough to know what the decisions he's been having to make or they have been making. But I can't even imagine how I could come to a different a decision at this point, being attacked the way, third-party attack that's going on. So all these people stole your freedoms are telling you now that you need to say Putin bad. And I say even the ones that didn't stop it are aiding and abetting that as well. So we're all in this swamp together, if you will. Not many, if anybody, really crawled out. And I say that, I'm thinking to myself, what have I, well, I've been doing quite a bit, but they just don't come to me, folks. This has not affected me more than I had already placed myself anyway, right? Because I sensed I knew this was happening. Not like I wanted to predict the future and it would come on me. It just was going to happen. I was really, in a way, not able to change that. And it was going to take all of us. And I was hoping, I guess maybe hoping that COVID would expose that and we would come together and work for ourselves. We haven't done that yet. We still can. We, hope beyond hope here. Optimism beyond optimism, I think. And it's not that we're not all doing stuff. And I know there's a lot of people that have been preparing. So brace for rationing. Those of you that prepare yourself won't have to weather that, but it doesn't mean that we don't now aren't looking at the very real execution of the plan. As I was telling someone, I don't remember now their name on Twitter, they're saying, well, this thing that was said here that we need to have free academia is true for a good democracy or whatever government. No, I said no. Well, I didn't say no. I said, no, not people. Many people appreciate that free academia was used to incrementally erode our organic systems. How do I know that? We sued it in 2013. Okay, so this is knowledge that you can have too. To understand that we have a foe that's inside our system, the cancer inside. What you're seeing Russia having to do is what we should be doing in defense of ourselves. And as a question now, Katie Johnstone. but her name, defending freedom and democracy sure requires a lot of censorship. Really ironic or oxymoronic statement, I suppose, that's perfect. Exactly. We wouldn't need it if it was so-called democracy, and I'm not even worried about the democracy word, which we're not under at all. You're under tyranny, all right? I don't care. You don't have to put in, there's no government we're living under. It's strictly tyranny. Caitlin, thank you, Kayate. I'll look over, and there it was. The answer from the RLM chat. Thank you very much. As we moving into the censorship issue, as I said, Treasury's going after that, not the money. They realize they can't affect Russia, or they can affect it, but I'm saying is that Russia can weather it. They can weather that punch. And they can make a counterpunch. And we see, moving on into the censorship idea, this website here, Law Against BS, is signed, where we now see a report that Russia has either on the verge of, or I heard that they had, Putin had signed it, that they have outlawed fraudulent news reporting, which this article claims independent reporting is a euphemism for spreading BS. That Russia outlawed the fake news, the lies, and immediately the mainstream media started to stop reporting in Russia. Even on the suggestion, and I think now it's part of the law, that if you don't tell the law the truth about Russia, you're out. You can go to jail. And all of a sudden, all the mainstream media standards stop broadcasting, stop promoting the news. The censorship right there. And this is what I'm telling you about looking to examples of Russia can be for us. We need to do that in every country. Enough is enough. And I told you, you're going to have to make laws, whether, I don't know how easy it's going to be for people, but make laws that outlaws all this nonsense, notwithstanding our freedom of speech. You can tell, you can't foment an alarm. Again, there's that limit that the courts in this country, the United States of America, have set. And if we move this hit, the economic hit now to us, the spit in our face, all the rule of law democracy nations, the end of ATMs in Australia, thousands of cash machines are removed. Why? Because they want you going digital. I just don't know what to say more to say. That's what they want. Even Russia's going to do this, so don't think that I'm too cheerleading that. And then we get on to the real stupid part of this story, FEMA, telling us, with the threat of nuclear war, in case of nuclear explosion, maintain social distancing and wear a mask. It's the stupidity coming out of the Homeland Security that's supposed to be checking and saving us from all threats and terrorism. Another story, the clown show, did you notice what was ridiculous about the FEMA's nuclear attack advice? So they're now giving us exposure that this may actually happen, but keep your social distancing is more important than stopping the problem years ago that brought us here. And I hope you appreciate the problem of, before we start saying Putin bad, we have a lot morally to have discussed in us as a society before we even came here. And I think it's reflective in COVID-19 and all these other things we've been talking about at least since 9/11. Hope it gives you something to think about. I hope I inspired you to think clearly, more clearly. Don't point the finger too fast. Make decisions to protect yourself. Brace for rationing. Brace for all the hardships, the austerity that was told to us to be coming. We're on the cusp of it. Glad we're moving into spring, but it's going to be 6 months before harvest for a lot of people, maybe 30 to 60 days for other people. But take that into consideration. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Radio.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
That's first. opening up a can of whoop-ass to you is like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.